Hello, everyone, and welcome to American Girl Unboxed, the podcast where we dive deep into the stories, styles, crafts, and snacks of the American girls we grew up with. I'm Grace, and today we'll be talking about changes for Samantha, the sixth and final book in the Samantha series. We will, of course, go over all the fun extras that go with that book, too. And in a fun twist, joining me to talk about both the book and all the extras today are both Victor and Katie. Welcome.
Thank you.
So before we get started, Victor, you had an idea of what we should maybe turn this podcast into.
Yes, in jest, totally. But we just recently saw the movie Sinners, and we thought, wow, we could totally do maybe 60 episodes on this movie because that's how much we liked it.
Yes. So. Have you seen Sinners yet, Katie?
I have not. I have absolutely no idea what the plot is.
Have you? Do you know what it is? Like, or like what the movie, who's in it or anything?
Is this the one with Michael B. Jordan?
Yes.
Okay, I know a little bit.
And yep. I think it came out this year.
It did. 2025. Not too long ago, actually. I think it just...
Vampires, well, it was Good Friday. I remember seeing that. That was when it premiered. That's right. So it would have been, what, April or March?
Yeah. I'm not big onto very like horror genre or like Halloween movies that are like supposed to be scary. Like they just aren't as good as the old ones. But this one surprised me at just how thoughtful it was. Where it had both like action, comedy, heart. It had so much heart. And visually... that's one thing that I love to discuss is just movies and how they're shot. And I thought the frames that Ryan Coogler chose were amazing. And yes, see, there I go. I'm already like rambling off on this movie. But
it's so good.
Yeah.
And Michael B. Jordan plays twins. So he has two roles.
Ooh.
And yeah, it's set in the 1930s. So we could probably talk about it more when we cover Kit, but it could be a media pairing, but, we recommend it. We will not be changing this podcast to a Sinners podcast, but. Correct. At least not yet.
But it sounds like Victor's got a media recommendation while we do Kit.
Yes, in the same
universe.
Very applicable. I could basically make it work for anything.
Yes. Well, okay. Let's go on to Samantha now. So Changes for Samantha was written by Valerie Tripp again with illustrations. Okay, so the book that we read the original again, and the illustrations this time were by Luann Roberts, which is a new person doing the illustrations. I did read on a Tumblr post, so don't know if it's accurate, that she was doing some, I think, vignettes beforehand, illustrating some vignettes, and then they hired her to do the complete illustrations for Changes for Samantha. We were reading the first Scholastic printing from 1992. I think that the illustrator tried to just basically make these look almost identical to the style of the first five books because they, to me, look pretty similar. What did you guys think about these illustrations?
They do look different. And I think even Samantha Saves the Day kind of has a cover, depending on the edition you have, that looks a little bit different to the original. But I think overall they do a good job of trying to match it.
Yeah, I agree.
The sixth book cover, I would say the biggest difference is more in the covers than I think the images on the pages.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so I did also look into this illustrator a bit, and she just to see if she illustrated anything else for Samantha or American Girl. And I don't think, Victor, you'll know what these are, but Katie, do you know about the iconic reading posters?
No.
So there's these posters that American Girl put out that has, each poster has one of the American girls reading a book. And so it's like a poster that's like for reading. I'm assuming probably libraries would purchase these, maybe teachers. And so there's one for like Samantha. There's one for Felicity, et cetera. They're adorable. All the illustrations are beautiful. That's like one of my high bucket list items that I want someday is one of these posters, but they're expensive to find.
I actually have seen these. I've seen Kits and Addies, and they're so beautiful.
They're beautiful. I know.
Well, knowing it's on your bucket list, I'm assuming it's also on your Amazon wish list somewhere that it's coming to us probably soon.
Well, these are hard to find.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, then. And they're so expensive. Yeah, I've looked. And they're hard to find in general, and then to find at a decent price is even harder. So, but they're, anyway, the one for Samantha was illustrated by Luann Roberts. So that's another piece that she created for this. They also have bookends that are basically the illustrations from the posters, and they're turned into bookends, which are also really cute. And I have seen those on Facebook Marketplace that I might purchase someday.
That's pretty cool. I like the bookends idea. I think that would look cute in your library.
Yeah. I know. It's just a matter of choosing which girl to get, though. I think I like Kirsten's best, but I'm not sure. Anyway, on to the portraits of these books. We always discuss the portraits. I think before you even started reading, Victor, I was like, what do you notice about the portraits? Who's back?
Yeah, so when I open the book, again, definitely one of my more favorite parts of opening these up is checking the gallery wall. And, you know, we've discussed in earlier episodes just how disappointing it is to not see Nellie. But lo and behold, we open this book up and there she is, our girl Nellie, back in full effect. And I can't wait to see what the story is about because she's in it now. So
yeah.
I'm fully in. And then we have obviously the twins returning. Not obviously, more of just like, oh, okay, I guess they're still around.
They're here to stay. Like,
but they're most likely going to cause mayhem of some sort. So yeah, it was a great sight to see Nellie return.
Wait, were the twins in the portraits?
Yes.
Yes.
Are they in this book?
I think they're mentioned, but they're not in the book.
These right. portraits, I'm telling you what. I probably could have. They could have put Miss Frouchy in the portraits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, anyway. Don't get me started on who should be in the portraits and who shouldn't.
Yep.
I will say I did note that Eddie is not in the portraits again, so he is not in this book. And Grumpy Elsa, the maid, Grandmary's maid, is also not in this one. Okay, let's move on to a little fun fact about the history of this time. So by the time Samantha would have been an adult, it would have been harder to find servants. So in this book, we meet a new servant named Gertrude, who is a housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And just in 10 to 20 years, it was a lot harder to find women like her to work in homes. So basically immigrants were finding better jobs than those jobs, which is great. So women like Samantha then had to start doing chores themselves. So it kind of just between what we're reading and in a few, 10 years, 20 years, it changes where now women like Samantha would have to do their own chores, take care of their own laundry. And so with that, there was a change in style, which I think is very interesting. So when you look at style changes throughout the decades, I never really thought to think about what influences those changes. And so when you look at the styles of the late 1800s, early 1900s, you see a lot of heavy layers, really elaborate gowns that women would wear. And then think about the 20s. Think about what flappers were wearing. Huge change in just 20 years. And it's because these women had to launder their own clothes. And so they made them less elaborate. So it was easier to wash them.
And who wants to do laundry in a big puffy dress?
Yeah, you need, that's true. Or any chore. If you're doing all of your own chores now, you don't want to be doing them when you're wearing a tight corset and all this.
Ugh.
Yeah, that would be horrible. Another fun fact about the style is that with these clothes becoming less structured and heavy, they also were becoming a little bit more, they showed a little bit more skin. And so there were some laws that were passed that women couldn't show more than 3 inches above their ankles.
I was going to say, I thought ankle was pretty
scandalous
back then in the day. So
yeah.
How high up above the ankle?
3 inches.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it was everywhere. It just said there were some laws. So I'm assuming it was probably state by state.
Yeah.
But thought that was interesting. So, when Samantha's going to be a young lady, she's going to probably wear a lot. Her clothes will look a lot different than they do in these illustrations. All right. You guys ready to jump into the book?
Let's
do
it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So chapter one is called A New Home and starts with her entering Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia's house on a cold day after ice skating. She says, "I'm home," in a true twist. So were either of you surprised? Katie, did you remember her moving in with them?
I did, and I honestly thought it happened further up in the series. I forgot it was the last book.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of just waiting for that to happen. What about you, Victor? Were you surprised?
I was very surprised, but probably not as surprised as the reason for it originally, because if you remember from the fifth book, there was something that I was hoping, I was leaning, and we discussed it. It was something that basically took my attention away from probably paying attention to the plot that I probably should have been paying attention. However, I couldn't let it go. And it was the potential romantic interest of Grandmary and Archie Archibald, Admiral Archie, my guy. They're celebrating their honeymoon. How sweet is that? So let them celebrate. Samantha, you're in good hands. Uncle Gard, Aunt Cornelia, they're basically the cool and an uncle already. And so I think that's just a natural fit. So surprised, but super excited on both fronts that Samantha is entering a really welcoming home, one that she's going to totally thrive in and enjoy. But also the fact that Grandmary and Archie are together.
It was kind of a surprise to me that it just happened like that, but that was a really sweet thing to read, that they were together.
And that's one thing probably that I've disliked about these books, is only the fact that there's so much that happens in between each book, which, fun fact for both of you, I didn't realize this, but each girl is the same title. And then they happened in seasons, so they're just naturally written far apart from one another. And I was like, that just hit me finally with this book. So
wait, how did you find this out? Were you looking up on the other girls?
Yeah, so because I was, when I was trying to rank, or well, just now it reminded me to mention this, but you know, I just like to explore different pages of the book, right? And so then I started looking at, like, as we're finishing this book, I kind of wanted to see, like, oh, what are the stories going to be about for the next girl and the next girl after that? And it was like, so we meet them, then she learns a lesson, then we surprise her, then celebrate her birthday, then they save the day, and then now, you know, it culminates and changes.
Yeah,
so I thought that was cool.
And the version that Victor is looking at, it's just showing Kirsten, Molly, and Samantha, the original three. So, and this pattern does continue through maybe like the first 12 girls, and then it changes. So, like about half of the girls have a similar pattern to this, and then we'll get to some. Are the next girl that we're going to read, should we say who it is?
I think we should surprise.
Surprise. Okay, we're not going to say, but I will give a hint that it's not going to follow this six book arc.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's, it'll be different.
That's exciting.
Yes.
That's a nice break.
And Victor, didn't you know that every girl goes through these puberty stages?
It's because you're a boy. You don't understand.
Right. I didn't know that everything was so segmented. Yeah. But
get surprised and then it's our birthday.
Yeah.
And that's why women live longer, because men are just like flying by the seat of their pants. And, you know, if we make it to 70, it's a blessing.
Yeah, there you go.
So is that the title of American Boy books, is Victor Flies by the Seat of His Pants?
That would be chapter 1 through 90.
Every okay. book is just Every, part 2. Yeah. I will say, too, with this, I don't know if either of you did the math on this, but Samantha Saves the Day was set in the summer, and then this book is set around Valentine's Day. So that means between book 5 and book 6, there's like a 6-month gap at least.
Yeah, and I thought, like, that is a lot to kind of wrap your head around jumping into the next book, especially with, there has to be a spinoff of this love story. And it doesn't even have to be American Girl. Again, I just need to know more.
You can do a fanfic for it. I would read it.
You know, I like to write. And I think I could, actually. Now I'm strongly considering this. So stop.
Okay.
Next episode, Victor's fanfic of Grandmary and Archibald.
That would be amazing.
It's interesting, too, because the Samantha Saves the Day and Changes for Samantha still have 1904 on the front, but it's 1906 by the time this is happening. So she's almost 11 by the time this book ends.
Yeah. It starts with when she's 9, and it's ending when she's almost 11. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a big span of time, which I think is why these books, though, honestly, are so great, these first few sets, because you get to really get to know the character and see them throughout a lot of phases and changes. Okay, so let's get back to the story. Samantha and Aunt Cornelia share a pot of tea at dusk while they're waiting for Uncle Gard to get back home from work. Samantha says that's her favorite part of the day. On the table, Samantha notices a box of Valentine's Day cards. Samantha says her first Valentine's Day card will be for Grandmary and the Admiral, and Cornelia refers to them as the newlyweds. So we've already just talked about them, you know, being newlyweds, and it turns out they are sailing around the world on the Admiral's yacht right now.
Romantic.
Very romantic.
In Greece.
Yes, they literally sailed off into the sunset. Grandmary's living her best life. I love that. So Gertrude, the housekeeper, interrupts them. Before I continue with the story, I wanted to interrupt myself because this moment caused me to do a little bit of a deep dive. I couldn't help but notice that Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia's housekeeper had a German name, Gertrude, and then also Grandmary's housekeeper, Elsa, had a German name. So I just was kind of wondering if that was intentional, what that was about. So after looking into it, it appears it was very common for German immigrants to be domestic servants in the 1800s and early 1900s. And according to the University of Michigan dissertation that I read by Bridget Rex, German women who worked as domestic servants were considered good catches due to their they were considered good catches by German men due to their proximity to American families. So it helped them get to know the culture better, and then it would thus help them, like their husbands, assimilate better into American culture. And I just thought this was interesting. My family came here in the early 1900s from Germany through Ellis Island. And so, you know, it's possible a great grandma of mine could have been doing some of this work as well. Okay, so back to the story. Gertrude is portrayed to be very similar to Elsa in that she is intimidating and not very warm. Samantha starts working on a Valentine for Nellie now, and I am glad she is finally mentioned again.
Woo.
She tells Cornelia that she worries about Nellie because she has to work very hard and is not very strong. They both agree, however, they are happy she has a family to be with. Samantha suggests, so just as like a, to catch people up or remind people, Samantha and Cornelia are in New York, and Nellie is back with the Van Sicklens close to where Grand Mary lives, working as a servant to them, based on what we know at this point. Samantha suggests they make cookies for Nellie and send those, to which Cornelia agrees. They decide to make some for Cornelia's twin sisters, Agnes and Agatha. So I guess this is where they're mentioned, but I think that's like the only time. And Uncle Gard, they'll make some for Uncle Gard, which will be a surprise. Just then, Uncle Gard pops his head in and says he has something for Samantha, a postcard and a letter. The postcard is from Grand Mary and the Admiral. They are off the coast of Greece having a great time, but missing Samantha. The letter is from Nellie. She asks how Samantha is doing and then says, I'm fine, but the flu was very bad this year and her mother and father died. She says her employer, Mrs. Van Sicklen, has been kind, but now her and her two sisters will need to leave their house. They are moving to New York to live with their uncle, and she promises to visit Samantha as soon as she can. Samantha can't repeat the letter to Cornelia because she was too upset. She hands it over. After they read it, Uncle Gard picks Samantha up and puts her on his lap. Cornelia holds her hands. They are both very clearly upset by the news as well, but promise that they can check in on Nellie once she gets to New York. Katie, what were your thoughts on the start of this book? What we're learning about Nellie? What were you thinking at this point?
At first, I'm just so excited because it feels like, ooh, Samantha's like getting to live out her preteen years in New York. This is going to be exciting. And then she just gets thrown back into childhood with this news from Nellie. And first of all, heartbreaking for Nellie, like already such a sad tone and start to the book. But now they're kind of both orphaned. And so I think maybe this wasn't even just Samantha being sad for her friend, but maybe thinking about the fact that she knows what her friend's feeling, and like Uncle Gard having to pick her up and put her in her lap. I think it just reminds you that she's a kid experiencing all of this too. It's not like she is an adult, and that's hard to hear at any age, but I think especially when you're growing up. And so you really, I think, just get reminded that she is a kid going through all of this too, and she still needs that support from the adults in her life. And so I'm glad that Uncle Gard and Cornelia were there to kind of give her some comfort. But I think it's also, I mean, clear, and we'll get to this in the second chapter, that that doesn't really help much. So
yeah, thoughts and prayers don't always help.
Thoughts and prayers.
I know. I like that you mentioned the lap thing, because I did write that down because I found it touching, but I think that is a good point. It reminds you that she is still a child. Yeah. You kind of sometimes forget, I think, that she's so young, or at least I think sometimes I think of her as more like 13, 14.
Yes.
But really she's 10. So yeah, that's very young,
and she's mature and adventurous. But then this, I think, chapter really shows you, oh yeah, she's still a child.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, Valerie Tripp, we've discussed before, is very intentional about kind of like writing a little bit more maturely and really showing kind of like that Samantha that continues to just grow before our very eyes in how she writes her. It was super sad. See, this is what happens when you don't check in on your friends. All right, we haven't checked in on Nellie in three books, and suddenly now things aren't as great as, I mean, not that they were great before, but at least she had parents then. I don't know. It was terribly sad to hear. And I didn't honestly think of that connection, Katie, that this is just a perfect opportunity for Samantha to really kind of like practice empathy. And, you know, what a luxury it is for Nellie to have someone that has gone through that. Samantha went through it obviously much earlier. Nellie is older, but still, it's, you know, now you are on the same almost playing fields, if you will, that, you know, these are two orphan girls, and it, what a, they've, I thought they were already bonded pretty strongly, but I think this is probably going to serve as just like an added catalyst to like continue developing their bond throughout the years. So it was very sad. I've missed Nelly, but I didn't want her to see her come back into the stories like this.
Yeah, I know. And unlike Samantha, she has no safety net.
I was just going to say that it's continuing that class storyline throughout this book, too.
Well, and she has, I guess, a safety net and an uncle. So we'll find out more about how that goes and if the uncle can compare to Grandmary.
I would say, too, because like when I found that out, I was that was one of the things that I thought about was like, oh no, she's an orphan. She's probably going to an orphanage. She's going to be the next Annie, but not with any song and dance, right? Mm, it's going to be very like gloom and doom. And like, how worse can you do than working in a factory at a kid as a kid? Well, try doing that while living in an orphanage without your parents and, you know, probably being neglected and or, you know, abused. And, you know, physically, I think they just took a toll on kids, orphanages did, especially ones that weren't ran ethically. You know.
Yeah, they talk about it from book one, how small she is for her age. And that's already sad to read about. But we'll get more into that in this book. So days and days go by, but Nelly does not visit. Samantha knows something must be wrong to keep Nelly from visiting. She's like counting the days, you know, since she got the letter and when Nelly would have arrived and giving her like a day to unpack. And she still hasn't seen her. So finally, Uncle Gard says they will call Mrs. Van Sicklen. Samantha is surprised because it's a long distance call, but Uncle Gard doesn't care. They call the operator. So I thought this was interesting to kind of note how phones worked back then. So he called an operator and asked to be connected with the Van Sicklen residence. And then there was a lot of like shouting involved. So it must have been not a super clear connection. And then once he's patched through, he learns from Mrs. Van Sicklen that Nellie and her sisters had left 2 weeks ago. She gave them, Mrs. Van Sicklen gave them the uncle's name and an approximate address. Samantha wants to go find her, but Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia tell her that New York is too big and their best hope is that Nelly will come to them. I thought that was a little interesting because I was like, they did get an approximate address. So I was kind of wondering why Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia wouldn't maybe volunteer, or even maybe just Uncle Gard volunteered to go look, but maybe it was still too vague of an area.
Well, and also that in the previous book, they had her, you know, run, or not in the previous book, but the book prior to that, where they're in New York, that she, you know, they, where was the concern then?
Yeah. Yeah. They're running amok in book four.
And did Nelly even know where Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia lived? Like, why would she know that?
Right. Yeah.
She had never visited.
Well, and that's a lot to ask. Like, we aren't going to go find her, but we'll let her come find us. I don't know. It just seemed a little bit.
Right. Because she has all the resources.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
She's got a car.
I will say, too, they mentioned that Samantha can hear in Uncle Gard's voice that he doesn't fully even believe that Nelly will be able to find them. So I think Aunt Cornelia and Uncle Gard are maybe just thinking that it's not going to happen, I guess, that they'll reconnect. So Samantha hears this and she determines to find Nelly herself because, of course, she's our girl. She's Samantha. She is going to go take charge. After school, she heads to the area Mrs. Van Sicklen mentioned. She becomes overwhelmed with the crowds. She decides to buy some chestnuts to warm up. And lo and behold, the man selling them has an Irish accent. So Samantha asks him if he knows Mr. O'Malley. This is Nellie's uncle's name. The man says he knows many Mr. O'Malleys, so she needs to give him some more details. Before I continue with the story, quick question. Have either of you ever had roasted chestnuts before?
No.
Did your mom or you make some I think so.
Yes, I think you have. I think so. Have you been to, Katie, have you been to Greenfield Village?
Yes.
So I do want to say this is not a media pairing, but I will say this is sort of like a destination pairing for the Samantha series.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
If you are in Michigan or come to Michigan or are near Michigan, if you live in like a Great Lakes state, I highly recommend going to Greenfield Village that is in Dearborn, Michigan, which is close to Detroit. It is sort of like Williamsburg, if you've ever been to Williamsburg, but smaller, but it's a decent size and it's basically a living museum and they have a lot of stuff from the turn of the century there. So you can go see houses that were brought over to this museum that are still decorated like it's that time period. Anyway, Victor and I go at Christmas time with my dad's side of the family. And they sell roasted chestnuts. And so I think my cousins bought some and let us try them.
Oh, yes. And I was not a fan.
They were not good.
No.
Katie, they were not good.
I'm kind of thinking of like a large chestnut too. So yeah. I feel like that just doesn't sound great to me. But
it wasn't.
I do love like roasted pecans with some.
It was nothing like that.
I'll take those over chestnuts every day.
This
and the crazy
like
part
that.
Is that it, like one of my favorite Christmas songs is Chestnuts Roasting. Yeah. You know, that one. And so I was excited to taste these. I was like, well, Nat King Cole and Bing Crosby,
love
I think
them.
Some to yeah. love them. So yeah, give me a whole bag. No, I didn't take a whole bag, but I did try one and I said, you keep the rest.
The texture is weird. I think if maybe you like chopped them up and then coated them in like sugar or something, like it maybe was good. But I think they're probably, given where we were, they were probably trying to be as historically accurate as possible, I would guess. And so they were literally just like roasted chestnuts in a bag. They're not, in my opinion, not good. But that painted a whole new picture of this interaction because I was like, oh, Samantha,
right.
you're making the wrong choice right now. But anyway, back to the man at the chestnut stand. So when he hears the full name of Mr. O'Malley, which is Mike O'Malley, his grin immediately vanishes and he asks Samantha what she might want with a hooligan like that man. She explains that her friend is this man's niece, and so the chestnut vendor reluctantly tells her where he might be, but to be careful. When she gets into the building that the chestnut man directed her to, she stands in shock because it looks gloomy and horrible. The picture kind of shows, almost looks like busted out windows. There's like a bunch of, you know, dirty laundry hanging out front.
It's a torn awning.
Yeah, it does look pretty gloomy. Samantha doesn't want to go through the doorway, but she thinks about, this made me so sad. She doesn't want to go through the doorway, but she thinks about how perhaps Nellie has to go through that doorway every day. And so that gives her some courage. She decides to be brave and enter. A woman immediately opens a door in the building and tries to shoo Samantha away until Samantha mentions that she's looking for Nellie. The woman ushers her inside where the room is clean but crowded. There are six children sitting around a table making flowers out of paper. I was a little bit confused by this. Katie, did you think they were like crafting, or was it like, what do you think they were doing there?
I feel like all these children were working. Like, I'm getting the impression that maybe that's their mom. They've got seven children. And they're trying to make money while dad's at work at the factory, but they don't obviously want to send their kids into a factory to make money. So it kind of feels like they're maybe trying to make an extra.
Yeah. So maybe they sold it
to with decorations.
Yeah. Maybe they sold it to companies or perhaps on the streets or something.
Yes.
Okay. The woman says that Mr. O'Malley did live there, but he was only good for drinking. When the girls arrived, Nellie and her sisters, he took all of their money and left them alone in the room upstairs. They had nothing to eat and nowhere to sleep but the bare floor, which just makes me so sad to think about. These girls are, Nellie is the oldest and she's 10. So think about a 10-year-old and two younger girls alone in a scary part of town. Nellie tried to clean up the place, but they couldn't stay there without any coal or money. Remember, this is February. The woman took them in and they sat down. So this woman took the Nellie and her sisters in, and Nellie and the sisters sat down to work immediately without any complaint. So it must have been, she says sat down to work. So maybe the flowers are, again, a livelihood. But
in the book, there's an illustration where you could see ones that are completed in the background. So it does seem that maybe she does like some sort of side hustle of like, hey, we got flowers for this event or this restaurant or something like that. So that's what I remember from.
Okay. So after a week, Nellie said they couldn't stay any longer since the place was already so crowded and there wasn't enough food for everyone. So Nellie is just the sweet girl she always was, thinking about others. The woman decided to take them to the orphanage where at least it was warm and there was food. The woman tells Samantha where the orphanage is. Samantha thanks the woman and leaves. Victor, what were your thoughts on where our beloved Nellie is at this point in the story?
Absolutely heartbroken. And I immediately was hoping, I don't know, it was very bittersweet because, you know, here I go ranting about how much you know, I think Samantha's plot or like journey misses her, to have her kind of come back in such a terrible state is very bittersweet to me. And so yeah, she's definitely was one of my favorite characters from the first book, especially, you know, it reminded me, I think I watch a lot of documentaries, and it's a topic that I've always been drawn to, are, you know, kids living in dilapidated like environments, and ones that are just entirely designed to, I think, speed up the maturation process for kids. And, you know, I don't think Nelly hasn't been a kid for a very long time. Yeah. And so the fact that things only get harder for her is terrible to see. And so, like, yes, I'm grateful that Nelly has been brought back to the story, but am nervous to know what the outcome is going to be at this point, because she mentions, you know, her fear of being split from her siblings. And so, like, to think about that on top of everything, it's like, I mean, family over everything, right? And so yeah, the fact that that also is now at play, like, oh, it just reminded me that, oh yeah, that's right, like, this is what happens when you go into to an orphanage. You can't be guaranteed that you're going to be allowed to stay together.
Yeah. And I don't know how you felt, Victor, having the, you know, this is your first American Girl you've read, but Katie and I have read other ones, and if you've read other series, the stakes are real, because there's like another series, I'm not going to spoil it right now, especially for you, Victor, but where a best friend dies, like one of the girls' best friend dies. And so as readers, if you're familiar with these American Girl books, you know these stakes are real.
Well, I've felt these stakes now for, well, you had, I think, the Christmas one and then the birthday one. Like, there was, the stakes were very little. But then yeah, when you get into like the suffragists, the boat accident,
yeah,
and now this, you know, I welcome a good dramatic story. So it's not something that's going to deter me or, like, you know, have me like revert this entire decision of like, should I even continue reading these? Like, no, if anything, it galvanizes me toward learning more and, you know, really enjoying, I think, the experience. Because again, you know, I think one of my media pairings earlier on was The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. Yeah. So I'm not shy to deep.
I am
content. Yeah, right.
That's why I read children's lit. I mean, right. It does have deep content, but usually with a little bit of a lightness to it, but not always.
But not always.
Yeah. So let's get back into the story. Chapter 3 starts with Samantha staying up all night worrying. Then Cornelia asks her what's wrong over breakfast the next day. She tells them that she knows where Nelly and her sisters are. They do reprimand her for going to a dangerous part of the city, but Aunt Cornelia suggests that they go to the orphanage together that afternoon. I'm so glad she said that afternoon. Like, I was like, yeah, like if I was meant to, like, you, I would want to go right away.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad she wasn't like, oh, we'll do it on the weekend. So no, let's go right away. Samantha smiles for the first time that morning, and they start excitedly talking about all they can bring and pack for the girls. Later, they arrive at a dirty gray building. A maid leads them into a very, very quiet parlor. A woman comes in and smiles a fake smile at them. She asks if they've come to hire a maid or a serving girl, and Cornelia lets her know they want to visit Nelly. The woman, who is the directress, Mrs. Frouchy, says they only have visits on Sunday from 3 to 4. And Mrs. Frouchy, what a perfect name. Miss Frouchy.
Frumpy Grouchy, like, yes. I think it's perfect.
Perfect. Cornelia asks for an exception about the visitation, and the woman relents. Before Nelly enters, she says Nelly and her sisters are still independent-minded, but they will learn obedience, order, and discipline soon. So that's not a very good sign. The girls reunite, and the directress scolds Nelly for not greeting Cornelia. This makes Samantha definitely not like her. Cornelia asks if she needs anything, and before Nelly can answer, the directress interrupts and says they have everything they need. Samantha observes that Nelly is wearing a scratchy dress that is too big for her. Her hair is chopped short, and she looks thinner and smaller than before, and she already was pretty thin and small. Samantha tries to give Nelly the bag they packed, but the woman snatches it away and says she'll hold on to it. She's reminding me of Mrs. Flanagan. Or what's her name? Mrs. Flanagan? Mrs. Hannigan.
Mrs. Hannigan.
Yeah.
From Annie.
Yes.
Yes. Cornelia asks for a tour. Cornelia very wisely asks for a tour to give Samantha and Nellie some time alone.
And I have to give her props for that because she did that so slyfully that it was like, you know what? Yeah, I, you know, I'm interested. Yada, yada, yada. Show me what you're doing to these kids. And I was like, because I've been impressed with Cornelia, I think, from the moment she was introduced, because she is, number one, just such a great role model, I think, for anyone, especially a young girl. And so to see her kind of just like naturally do what she does, and that's making sure that things are being done the right way. And I think we learned a lot about what her stances are and how she stands for things, especially when it came to, you know, standing up to Grand Mary and saying, no, women do have the right to vote, and do women do have the opportunities to, or, you know, they're lacking the opportunities that they deserve. So for her to just kind of naturally step in and say, I got to really check things out. She sniffed it.
Oh,
just like I think anybody reading this book would, is this, something is not right.
Yeah. I was glad she did that and gave them some time. So when the grownups are gone, Samantha asks if Nellie and her sisters are all right. Nellie says it's not so bad, and she's thankful they're together. She's worried about her sister Bridget, though, who is not as strong and gets scolded for being lazy. Samantha says she wishes Nellie and her sisters could come live with her, but Nellie says Cornelia and Uncle Gard have all the maids they need and wouldn't want them. Then Samantha has the idea that Nellie and her sisters should run away, and Samantha can hide them in the attic, which feels like a very kid suggestion, right? Yes. Like, you just live in my attic. Nellie says no, because they'll be caught and punished. So again, Nellie being the realistic one.
Yep.
She says it's good. She's training to be a maid, and someday soon she will get a job and can take care of her sisters. Again, 10-year-old, like, how? She's just so mature.
Have either one of you ever considered hiding one of your friends in your home, or maybe having like a sleepover without your parents' permission?
No, I was a good kid.
I was gonna say, I was a goody two shoes.
So it just reminded me of an episode of Boy Meets World where
the cherry bomb episode.
Yeah, yes. And then all of a sudden, Corey, you know, the main star of the show, goes downstairs to have dinner with his family, and he's just loading up on carbs, you know, just getting plateful after plateful after plateful. And so I knew that if this at this point of, you know, just realizing like, oh wait, I think they're gonna try to sneak her in, I thought, well, I hope they know that they shouldn't take too much food. And we find out later on that that does play a role.
Yes. Yeah, that was a good connection there, Sean Hunter. But yeah, Nellie is smarter than Sean, I think, and is 100%, more practical.
No.
And was like, that's not going to work. And she's like, basically, Nellie drives home the fact that the most important thing is that her and her sisters are together, and they're together at the orphanage. So she's like, we're staying here because we're all together. Samantha then asks if Nellie can visit her, but Nellie says no, but Samantha can go to the orphanage on Sundays. Samantha begrudgingly agrees, and then Cornelia and Miss Frouchy are back, and Nellie is swiftly taken away before they could barely say goodbye. Cornelia was quiet on the way home, and Samantha could tell she didn't like what she saw at the orphanage. The chapter ends with Cornelia saying, "Those poor children," and putting her arms around Samantha. Katie, what were your thoughts on, like, we haven't talked yet really about Nellie, so what are your thoughts on Nellie?
I think honestly, like, when I was rereading all of these, and we've listened to the first episode, and I heard Victor's love of Nellie, and like, I forgot that she was only in half the books. And then this book, I think, just reminds me like how much I loved her and why I got her in the first place. But she has like such just a maturity that she shouldn't have to have at that age. And it's just something that like circumstantially she's had to go through. And she's so humble and like responsible, and clearly cares very much for her friends and her sisters, but like, I think just has this duty and responsibility. Like, I'm getting like just sad thinking about it, because I'm just like, this poor girl has so much on her shoulders and on her plate, and just stumbles forward and has still like an optimism to her that I think she's like, this is going to be okay. We're going to be together. It's not that bad.
Yes.
And it just makes me like so heartbroken for her. Yeah. Like, justice for Nellie, please.
I know.
Justice for Nellie. Let's start it.
She is so resilient. Like, that is a defining feature of her. And Nellie was Katie's second doll.
Yes.
So,
oh, nice. Yes. Okay.
First doll was Samantha.
Yeah, I remember, I think you had presented me, or like you were basically presenting to me a bunch of dolls and I was supposed to guess like who it was maybe, or like, or you maybe held up a Nelly doll and you were like, guess who this is? And I go, Nelly? Because I had no idea that they even would make a Nelly doll. And so that was cool to find out, especially because she became probably one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, she's the only, so that was in our when we were recording for Meet Samantha,
right?
Yeah, I showed you her, and she's the only doll outside of Samantha from these books that gets made into a doll. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, and in Samantha, in the Samantha series.
So right there, if you don't know Nelly,
yeah,
you gonna find out.
All right, let's dive into chapter 4. This starts with Uncle Gard, Aunt Cornelia, and Samantha showing up early to the orphanage on Sunday to visit Nelly. We cut to them leaving. So, like, we don't even get to see the visit. So, we cut right to them leaving, and everyone is feeling sad. Miss Frouchy apparently watched the whole time and was very harsh with the girls while they were there. And again, this is, like, in front of visitors. So, who knows what she's like when visitors aren't
100%.
There. 100%. Samantha asked Nelly if they could meet secretly if she snuck out and tapped on her window at night. This reminds me of all the anxiety I had in the first book when I felt like Samantha kept asking her to do these things that could potentially get Nelly in so much trouble. And I'm just like, girl, like, use your brain.
I thought that too. I was thinking, okay, Sam's back. So is Nelly just inadvertently almost like this, like, bad influence? Like, she's not, but somehow for some reason, Samantha just needs to save Nelly.
Yeah.
And she, which I appreciate, but sometimes her ideas are just, like, impractical.
Yes.
Maybe an example of, we were actually taking it back to Sinners. We were actually just talking about too, like, how some people, sometimes white people will have good intentions when trying to be allies to people of color, and will sometimes not always end up helping situations. And so this is even, this is kind of an example of that, of where Samantha's like trying to help, but not really thinking of the consequences that could happen to Nelly, because they're not going to happen to Samantha. They're going to happen to Nelly. Yeah. So
she's definitely got privilege showing.
Oh yeah.
Every time she makes these suggestions. 100%. And hopefully she learns from those time to time. But I think this just comes back in the book of that kind of savior complex for Samantha.
Yes. Yeah. Nelly laughs at this, though, and instead asks Samantha to come after school and meet her out back when she empties the ashes. So again, Nelly is very practical. She's like, I am not doing that, but but you can come at 4 o'clock when I empty the ashes. So Samantha rushes to the orphanage every day and sees Nelly every afternoon. She brings her food and empties the ashes while Nelly eats. Nelly is always hungry and tired and pale. She notices her hands. Samantha notices Nelly's hands are chapped from being cold. So Samantha gives her her gloves. Again, this is another example of maybe having great intentions, but not thinking about the impact, because the next day the gloves are gone. Apparently Miss Frouchy took them and said Nelly must have stolen them. So then Nelly got no dinner that night. Samantha realizes she can only bring food to Nelly, so she determines to bring more. One afternoon, Nelly is quieter than usual. After some questioning, Nelly shares that they've picked her to go on the orphan train. The orphan train is a train that goes out west and stops at little farm towns, letting families pick orphans to help them at the farm. The worst part is that her two sisters will stay behind, so they will be getting split up after all. Have either of you heard of the orphan train before?
I've not. No, not at this point.
Yeah, I hadn't either, but it can't, doesn't sound good.
No.
It does not sound like a train I want to be on.
No.
My first introduction to it was a book came out, I want to say in, like, let's say 2014-ish, somewhere around there, give or take a few years, that's called The Orphan Train. And it's a historical fiction book for adults. And it's about, you know, girls who are, or one girl who, it's been so long since I read, it's been over 10 years, who is sent away on an orphan train. And so, like, they would go to these small towns and then they would get out and kind of just, like, stand there and people would look at them, like, look at their teeth.
Are,
like,
pick, you serious? Yeah,
they would pick who they wanted to keep.
What?
And just think about the, like, the opportunity for abuse that could happen that. And
jeez.
Just, like, and some children, I'm sure, got quote unquote lucky that they got maybe people who treated them decently, but, like, I'm sure a lot of them did not. So it was a very risky thing to happen.
That's so sad. I'm so happy that the only train I really heard about was Soul Train.
Yeah, that's a happier,
very different way happier type of train.
That's very sad. I never knew that.
So Samantha convinces her that her and her sisters must run away and hide at Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia's. Nellie says only if she can look for work while she is there. Samantha assures her she can go out in the morning and come back at night and look for some work, and Samantha will provide everything they need. Nellie reluctantly agrees to the plan and will bring her sisters out back the next afternoon. So, you know, she just wants to keep her sisters together. This seems like sort of she, I think Nellie again is realistic, and she realizes this is maybe a silly plan to go hide in Samantha's attic, but at this point it's really her last resort. So she says she'll do it.
Absolutely.
Victor, what did you think about this plan? Like, did you, how were you thinking? Like, did you think it was going to work? Or
I say I was rooting for it.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely it was going to be a pretty daunting task for kids their age to, I think, plan and execute an escape. But also I think I'm definitely like ignorant to like, what are the repercussions, or like, what are the actions the orphanage or Miss Frouchy would take if they found out that they just lost three moneymakers, right? Or like three people or kids that are part of their workforce that, you know, provide them some income. And so like, is there anything legally they can do to retrieve her? So I was saying like, go for it, but make sure no one finds out, or they can trace Nellie and her sisters back, or the orphanage can trace Nellie and her sister to get them back. Because I just, like, as great as it would be to have them escape, it's one thing to escape and be free. It's another thing to escape and keep running.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just picturing like Annie and the scene where Miss Hannigan's like climbing that track, and ugh,
yeah,
Miss Frouchy would do that.
It's 100%. Yeah, oh yeah, I know, definitely a lot of suspense in this book, I feel like, trying to figure out what's going to happen to Nellie. So the next day, Samantha rushes to get to the orphanage. The three sisters arrive with the two younger ones looking confused and fearful. Samantha tries to soothe them and gives them shawls and scarves to disguise them in the streets, because otherwise they look like orphans, and so she knows they need to fit in a little bit. The four girls walked bravely to Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia's and climbed through the window in the basement. There's a stairway that leads from the basement all the way to the top floor, and this would have most likely been the servant stairs. So usually in houses back in the day, there were often two sets of stairs, one that was sort of like the grand stairway that the family members would use, and then sort of a smaller stairway that was often not open, out in the open, and that would be what the servants would use, and typically it would come out in the kitchen.
Yeah, and fun fact, I don't know if Katie, you know this, but my sister just recently moved to Oak Park, Chicago, and there are these like very old grand houses where we actually got to walk inside of their home. Obviously they look more modern indoors, but still have a lot of like, they have a lot of still traditional old school charm. But we were able to walk through both stairways, and you could feel a difference.
Oh,
one
yeah.
was grand and in the open, one to present. One that you had one stairwell essentially where you were taking your prom pictures, and then you had the one set of stairs that it was like, that's where you're dragging the couch up or something. You know, very different sets of stairs. So it was cool to put that in my mind and really know kind of like, you know, that whole setup, which was new to me.
You could kind of picture, I know being in my sister-in-law's house, it helped me kind of picture what this setup would be. And I know, like I said, a lot of houses back then were similar to this. And Victor's sister's house was built in 1909, his sister's house.
Wow,
so very close to this time period. But they are successful. They are able to go up to the top floor without anyone noticing. Samantha had brought up lots of books and toys to make the room welcoming that the girls would stay in. She lets them know that they will need to be quiet in the morning and at night because Gertrude, the maid's room, is down the hall. Jenny asks if they get to stay, and when Samantha says yes, Jenny asks if that means they're not orphans anymore, which made me sad to hear. Samantha says that as long as the sisters are together, they'll never be orphans, which I thought was a sweet response, but still sad. Nellie adds that, and as long as they have good friends like Samantha. So just very touching end to that chapter. We're moving into the final chapter, chapter 5. So we know things are going to come to a head because it's our last chapter. Samantha feels like she is living a double life while taking care of the sisters. She, you know, spends part of her day sneaking food to them, hanging out with them upstairs, and the other part, spending time with Cornelia and Uncle Gard. Nellie leaves every single day, and the two little girls stay in their room playing quietly and napping. Like, can you imagine being confined to a room as a child? Like, no. Where you can't even be loud?
No.
That, you know, they must be very disciplined girls, which they would probably have to be in the situations they've lived in.
Right, because even the younger sisters are, you know, more adults than they should be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The three girls live off the stories Samantha shares about her life with Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia. And I thought that was so sweet to hear. So they would like ask her questions like, what did Aunt Cornelia wear today? And they would just want the minutiae of Samantha's life. And I could totally picture being that same way if I was in that situation.
Well, and like you said, too, like definitely not fun being trapped in the attic, having to be quiet, like hiding from Gertrude. Like, I mean, I'm thinking even logistically, like you can't even move around. But I did write down too. I was like, this does kind of sound like fun being with your sisters all day, like your friend coming and visiting. Yeah. Like Samantha made it as homey as she could. But I mean, still not an ideal situation.
Right.
And I think speaking to that resiliency that Nellie has, like the sisters have it too, I think, because the book mentions how the girls loved it. Like they were like, they felt safe finally. They could be together. And so like they had no complaints and they just were really like, I think, appreciating the situation they were in.
Very, very grateful.
Yeah.
Which was sweet. Also sad, but sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The one thing that's not going exactly right, however, is that Samantha is having a hard time smuggling enough food up to the girls without getting caught. So bringing it back to what Victor had talked about earlier.
I knew this would play an effect. And so,
here we are. And the person who is making this difficult is, of course, Gertrude, the grumpy maid, Elsa reincarnated, apparently. She scolds Samantha for eating so much lately, and she started to grow suspicious because she noticed how much Samantha was taking.
She's going through puberty. Give her a break.
Yeah.
Don't comment on that.
Exactly.
Rude.
I know. The next evening, Samantha sneaks three Valentine's Day cookies because the next day is Valentine's Day. Gertrude catches her in the act and asks her if she's keeping a pet inside the house. Samantha dashes away with the cookies and warns the girls to be quieter and tells Nellie she better not leave the house for a few days to be on the safe side. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I was like, after that interaction with Gertrude, you're not going to put the cookies away. You're going to keep the three cookies and you're going to run off directly to them after having that talk with Gertrude.
I exactly thought that same thing.
Yeah.
It's like you are inviting her to follow you.
Yeah. Be a little bit more slick. What are you thinking?
Yeah. And we'll get to what happens in just a minute. So Nellie agrees and says she wasn't having luck anyway finding work because nobody thinks that she looks strong enough to be a serpent. So she thinks she'll have to go back to the thread factory where she worked before, which was incredibly sad to hear. They're all feeling discouraged when, guess what? The door flies open and who walks in?
Dun, dun, dun. Aunt Cornelia, right?
Nope. We wish.
Yes.
No, it was Gertrude.
It was Gertrude. And Victor, what did you predict would happen after this? This is your first time reading it. You thought, what?
Well, I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, Gertrude found out, but like, they're not going to kick them out. Like, they're going to find them a home, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out. Gertrude marches them all downstairs. Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia gasp when they see them. Can you imagine, like, finding out that three girls were living in your house for a few days and you had no idea?
No.
Our little bungalow could never hold that kind of secret.
No, we would hear everything happening and be like, babe, I think there's, like, three kids up in our attic. You know? Or, nope, wait, Holden's like, there's four.
Totally. Gertrude is, of course, thinking the worst and is saying that these kids probably snuck in off the street and are stealing. Samantha defends them and says it was she who had been stealing all the food. Uncle Garden asks Samantha to explain, but first Cornelia has them all sit by the fire to get warm. So Cornelia, just being the nurturer that she is like, hold up, let's take care of these girls who are sniffling, are freezing. Let's sit in front of a fire.
Yeah, General Gertrude, calm down a bit. They're still little girls. How about we make them comfortable?
Yes. Samantha explains the situation and says they've been there for 4 days. Uncle Gard says they should all get warm baths and be put to bed, and they can decide in the morning what to do. That night, they all sleep in Samantha's room, and she thinks this will probably be the last time they're all together. She hears Uncle Gard and Aunt Cornelia talking into the night. When they go down for breakfast the next morning, Aunt Cornelia has placed a lace-trimmed heart on each plate and wishes them a happy Valentine's Day. Uncle Gard says they should eat, but Samantha can't eat until she knows what they've decided. Like, of course, like, it's like, no, get to the point. And she makes a final plea that the girls stay there and they can help around the house. Aunt Cornelia says they don't need any more maids, and Samantha's heart sinks. Then Uncle Guard says, but we do need more girls around here. Then he asks Nellie how her and her sisters would like to be sisters to Samantha and daughters to him and Aunt Cornelia.
That was awesome. I did not expect that. But when Uncle Guard mentioned, whoa, we need more girls around here, I go, not right now, Uncle Guard, with these dad jokes. This is not the time. And, oh, he ended up being serious. Yes.
Yeah. I was surprised that was the solution. Like, I figured they would help, but I was surprised that they got to stay there as, like, their kids.
Yeah. I just love this book because ending so happy, but it's also just like, what a cool uncle and aunt that are.
Yes.
Like, going from zero kids to four, though, insane.
Oh, that's, yeah. I guess you I don't know help. How anyone could do that.
I guess they have all the help.
But still, I mean, it's still a big decision.
It's still, huge, but it does help to have, like, resources.
Yeah.
I do remember actually reading this, and I don't know if it was right before this moment or, like, earlier on in the book. I think it was, when they were walking through the orphanage, I remember thinking to myself briefly of, wait, Aunt Cornelia, Uncle Guard, have they been trying to have kids? What are their plans, you know? Not that they would adopt Nellie and her sisters, but I just started thinking of, like, well, what is their story?
Yeah. Well, and they've only been married at this point for, I think, less than a year, so.
Right, so it's like, what are their plans? To me, they strike me as, like, they'll probably wait a while. Because they're gonna still be young and hip or whatever, and like, just like, yeah, we're gonna do the cruiser world, can't do that with a kid. It's like, well, all right. But I do remember thinking that now.
Now we know they've decided to adapt.
Amazing. I was so happy. There's no better for, you know, taking this on, because, you know, Nellie was afraid of losing her sisters through the orphanage process, and so they not only Aunt Cornelia and Uncle Guard saved Nellie and her sister from staying together, but they've now cemented the forging of Nellie and Samantha's friendship, because now they get to be
sisters.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed.
Well, the whole family hugs and showers each other with kisses, which I thought was very sweet. Uncle Guard says how lucky he is to have five Valentines, and Samantha says she is the lucky one because she finally has a real family of her own, which was very sweet. And that was the last part of the book, was Samantha with a quote-unquote real family. So what are your final thoughts? Katie, what did you think?
I feel like it's really a deep story, but the end is so wholesome, and it just kind of brings them all together. Uncle Guard is such a girl dad, so I mean, this is like,
yes.
It totally makes sense, and I'm always curious, like, what the dynamic would have been like later on with their backgrounds kind of blending together, but we do get justice for Nellie, and it makes me really happy.
Yes, me too. How about you, Victor?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed this story, and, you know, listeners can't see this, but you're getting a little emotional about it. It's a very emotional ending, but one that was very positive and hopeful. And, you know, it to me was enjoyable to kind of really see, almost like simultaneously, this new family, you know, be suddenly created. But also I started to almost forecast, like, what the future holds now for them if they're all going to be one family, and just like how exciting this house is going to be.
Yeah.
Even if Gertrude is still there.
I could read a whole new type of series about these four sisters. That's more of like just like fun and a different vibe, you know, like that would be super.
Absolutely.
Oh, maybe there is a series like that. Wait. So, Katie.
Oh wait, okay.
There's not a series, but I mean, we do get to see more.
That is a series. I mean,
more of their sisterhood and future
mystery
adaptations. Victor's right like there? Suddenly is interested right in there? Reading the mysteries.
So for listeners who don't know, and then also for Victor, there are, after this book series, there are I think five mystery books that feature Samantha, and I think most if not all of them take place after the sixth book. I think.
I believe most of them do. I think there's one that's Sure. Still when she's like with Graham Mary.
Okay. And then there's also some short stories. There's like six-ish short stories that take place, I think, throughout the series and potentially a couple after. I honestly don't know. I just got like a collection of the short stories. You can get like little, what are those called when you bind ups of all six? And so I do plan to read those at some point. I don't know if I'll talk about them on here or not, but I plan to read them. But yeah, so hopefully we can get to learn a little bit more about them. And Nelly does have her own book too.
I was just going to say, you do get a little bit of it in Nelly's book too.
Awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go. Well, first of all, what were your star rating for this book?
I would say five.
Five for me as well.
Five for me as well. I swear to you, listeners, I don't think it's going to be like this for every book series.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So like, we're not just being like blindly five stars everything. I have recently read, I'm not even going to say which books, but a couple that I know aren't going to be five stars for me. So anyway, let's rank the six books. So everyone say what was your least favorite of the series. Katie, let's start with you.
Happy birthday, Samantha.
Victor?
Ooh, I went with the second book.
Lessons for Samantha.
Lessons for Samantha. Thank you.
I also went with Happy Birthday, Samantha. That is a clear loser for me. Sorry, Victor.
No. Trust me. That's okay.
What was your second, your fifth favorite?
My fifth favorite, which is still a very good book, so don't come for me, is Samantha Surprise.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Victor?
I went with Happy Birthday, Samantha.
Okay.
As my second least favorite.
Okay. I went with Lessons for Samantha, which I still very much liked. Because, again, let us remind you that these were still pretty much all five stars, or most of them. Like for me, all of them were five stars except for Happy Birthday Smith. It was a four star. So, okay. And then what about next up, Katie?
My fourth rating was Samantha Saves the Day.
For me, it was Samantha's Surprise.
Okay. Mine was Changes for Samantha. I liked it, but I just like the other ones better.
Yeah. My third favorite was Lessons for Samantha.
Okay.
And my third favorite was the first book.
Oh, okay.
Oh, interesting.
Meet Samantha.
My third was Samantha Saves the Day. And what was your second, Katie?
My second was Changes for Samantha.
Okay.
Yeah.
My second was Samantha Saves the Day.
Okay. And my second was Samantha Surprise. Just remember, I just love Christmas. So yeah. I totally understand why it wasn't as high for you two, but I just, it was so cozy. I just loved
still
it.
Still really good.
Yes. Yeah. And then I think we have the same favorite, Katie. What's your favorite?
Obviously Meet Samantha.
Same. Victor?
Ooh, okay.
Drum roll for Victor.
He had separate choices.
The sixth book. Absolutely. So
it was your
the
favorite.
Last
okay.
two were my top two. Six being number one, the fifth book being number two. But, you know, the first one I still is at least in the top half.
Yeah.
But yeah, this last one was a nice, you rarely see a final piece in any series do it well enough where it's like you feel that you went through something, but it mattered at the end. It led up or culminated. Even with the missing Nelly parts, you know, it was all still happening in the background somehow, mm-hmm. that it just gets it all tied together. And so they did a great job, even though if it was what, how many, two different authors? I think Valerie Tripp.
Three.
Okay. But Valerie Tripp did the majority of them, right? Or at least
Valerie Tripp did
more
the
than the
three.
Other authors. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I, again, really enjoyed her take on Samantha.
Yeah.
And it was enjoyable.
Your favorite too are both of hers, and you also really liked Happy Birthday Samantha, which is also Valerie Tripp. So, and she writes a lot of American Girl books. So if you liked these, then hopefully that will carry through to the others. I feel like as in general, if I could like summarize all of our ratings, it sounds like we really think it started strong and ended strong, and then in the middle was a slightly weaker, but still very good. Yeah.
Yep.
Which, if I had to choose for a series, I think that would be how I would choose it. I love a strong ending, so. Definitely did that. And so now let's move into some media pairings. Who has something they want to suggest to go along with this book?
There was one that you've used in the past. It's The Little Princess.
Yeah.
It made me think a lot about that. And I also thought a little bit of Annie as well.
A Little Princess does pair so nicely with this whole series because it's like the same time period roughly, and it's about an orphan or... It's kind of, I mean, yes, it's about someone becoming an orphan, essentially. So totally great pairing. I think if I had to pick one thing, that's what I, like, if you wanted to read something similar to this, to me, that's the one thing that I would choose, or to watch something similar.
And inadvertently, I kind of already shared one with the Boy Meets World, John Hunter yes. one. So there's also that.
The cherry bomb episode. How about you, Katie? Did you have one?
I do. And I think this is our first song recommendation.
Oh, I love it.
A media pairing.
That is a media.
Yeah. It is a media.
Yes.
So I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan. Folklore is my favorite album. This book in particular kind of reminded me of Seven, which is about two friends. They're kind of playing together in the backyard, but at one point it says, I think your house is haunted, your dad is always mad, and that must be why. So I feel like separate storyline, it's not maybe the exact same, but it kind of reminded me of like Mike O'Malley's storyline coming through, but also just these two friends who have like a really profound friendship, and one's maybe going through something a lot harder. And then there's a part that says, I think you should come live with me and we can be pirates, then you won't have to cry or hide in the closet, and just like a folk song, our love will be passed on. And I'm like, Samantha and Nelly.
I'm sure I've listened to that song before, I would assume, but I'll have to re-listen to it.
Yeah, that was a great pairing. I was not expecting a song, but that was kudos.
It just popped into my head as we were talking, so nice. I feel like it wasn't even a planned pairing, but it definitely goes, I think, along with this story, and still has like uplifting vibes to the song, even though it's kind of sad.
It would be fun to create a Samantha playlist, like not like song. Like I try for our Instagram to try to find some songs that are from that time period. But I think it'd be cool to find songs that like the lyrics remind us of Samantha.
Well, you know how much I like to make a playlist.
Oh, Victor makes a great playlist.
So
maybe we should do this. We can post it
on Instagram. I think you have a job now.
Right.
Okay, Victor volunteered. You all heard it.
Yep.
Okay.
So check out for our Instagram for that coming up. I do also have a media pairing. I actually have two. The first one I think is fairly obvious if people have read it, like how it connects, which is Anne of Green Gables, because it was written in 1908, so written around the time of Samantha, but I think it was written in 1908 but set in the late 1800s.
Yes.
But basically around that time. And the beginning of Anne of Green Gables starts with Anne as an orphan getting dropped off in a random farm town for this couple, or this woman and her brother, to have her help on their farm.
It wasn't a train that she was dropped off, was it?
I actually don't know. That's a good question.
Because now this train is on my mind, and I'm thinking, why did we let this happen?
I don't think it was exactly that setup, because if I'm understanding correctly, the orphan train like has the orphans come out and the people pick them, whereas this was like they sort of ordered her almost, like, and they wanted the whole plot of the book is that they wanted a boy to help out on the farm, and they order a boy orphan, and then they get sent this girl instead. And so that's sort of the plot of the book, but it's again similar time period, and it deals with that whole side of things, and it's just so good. Have you read Anne of Green Gables, Katie?
I'm not. I'm just sitting here thinking like the human I ordered is not the right sex.
Luckily the people that she ends up with are overall good people, but there's definitely some growing pains in that situation. So that was one. And then the other media pairing I wanted to suggest is the Dear America series, which I feel like a lot of people who read American Girl also read the Dear America series. Victor, are you familiar with those books?
Not at all.
I want to say they started in the 90s. They were popular when we were kids.
Do they take place in America?
They do. And they're all diaries, and they're set different time periods and have different plots. And so I actually never got into them myself. I didn't find out about them until maybe I was like slightly, you can never grow out of a book, but maybe just at an age that wasn't a good fit at that time, right, for these books. But so I never really read them. However, recently I wanted to read one because I was, you know, just wanting to read a historical fiction. And there's a Dear America book written by Lois Lowry, who is a really fantastic writer. She wrote Number of the Stars and a lot of other excellent kids books. And so I thought, okay, if I'm going to read a Dear America book, let's read one that's written by this wonderful author. So I downloaded it on my library app to listen to. And it takes place in 1918. It's called Dear America, The Diary of Lydia Amelia Pierce. And it takes place in 1918 in a farm in Minnesota. But I only got two chapters in because basically, and this isn't a spoiler because it happens in the first chapter, but it's about the Spanish flu, which is what reminded me of this book, because Nellie's parents die of the flu. I don't think it's the Spanish flu, but
it's just before. It's yeah. between the Russian and the Spanish flu.
Okay, yeah. So it's not the same flu, but a basically in this
influenza.
Basically the Dear America book, her parents and baby sister all die in the first chapter of the Spanish flu. And so I put it down because I was like, this is too heavy for me. But I think if you're like interested again in that time period, 1918 is very close to that time period, and you want to read a Dear America book, again, this is an excellent author who I've read other books by her. So I feel like that would be a good place to go to.
Nice.
Only if you're okay with heavy stuff, which again, I can take it in small doses, but that was a lot right at the beginning, so I had to put it down. Yeah.
I read a lot of those as a kid. That was what really? I read after I read American Girl, and especially The Oregon Trail Diary of Hattie Campbell.
Was that your favorite?
I was obsessed with like the Gold Trail. Rush and the Oregon Trail, yeah. And like I think I loved Kirsten's books. So this was a throwback for me because I couldn't remember what they were called.
Oh, but, yeah.
I did remember. Did remember those.
And I think if you were doing, you know, I always like to think of this in the sense of if you're a parent or a teacher and you're reading through these with your kids, easily that would be another series to jump into that could complement this series, because you could probably find a Dear America book that would pair with any of these girls.
Yeah. And I think they're a little bit darker, so they are for
I couldn't even
older age range, but
yes,
yeah.
And I think, and also they're just thick. Like it's like you can tell when you read it it's
a chapter book.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely for later readers. But okay, let's get into our doll review now. So Victor, you get to be here for it. You can chime in as you want, but
yeah. And I appreciate that, which none of the books so far, I know we just covered the sixth one, but I never thought of like what my favorite version of the Samantha doll is until I saw the cover of this one.
Changes
and I thought,
Samantha,
yo, that is a super, super cool like winter outfit she has going on.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what? This might be my favorite. And I was thinking like, I can't wait to surprise Grace because she was not expecting that I would have
an opinion.
An opinion on the dolls. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted a muff so bad based on this cover. Impractical.
You.
Oh, yeah. I never got one. I never had a fuzzy white muff, but I wanted that look so bad as a kid.
Yeah, this is such an adorable outfit. Victor, you and I are so similar sometimes, because when I first started to collect them again as an adult, I was like, I don't need to have every single thing, although I am sort of, my brain is broken sometimes where I'm like a completionist. But I was like, Grace, just like focus on their meat outfits and then their winter outfits, because their winter outfits are always so adorable. And Samantha's is one of the best, if not the best, winter outfits. It's so cute. So we'll get into that right now. Katie, do you want to describe what she's wearing?
Yes. So she has a white fuzzy hat. So she's got a set that I think they were sold separately, which is really kind of a travesty. But the hat and the muffs are both like white fur, which we don't love that insinuation. But it does look really cute. And then her cape is like a navy and dark green plaid cape. So her hands actually have like holes in the cape that she can stick them out of. And then her boots, or gaiters as they're called, are like a black leather long boot. So definitely practical for a New York winter. I would wear this right this second.
Oh, honestly. I would. I don't know that the hat and muff are my style, but I would 100% wear that cape.
Oh,
100%.
I would look ridiculous, but.
Oh, you would look adorable. It's so cute. It does say on the wiki that this was released in 1988. Best year, right, Victor?
Year of the Dragon, and also the year of our birth.
And it retired in 2008, selling out before Samantha was fully archived. So I don't know if you've mentioned it on this podcast, but Samantha, if you're a collector, you probably know this, but she was archived her first time in 2008. So,
which means
sad.
So you couldn't buy her anymore for a long time.
Okay.
They stopped selling her.
Devastated.
Because
yeah,
that was right in the thick, that was in the thick of your collecting years, wasn't it?
Yeah, I started in 2006, and then I kind of ended being into American Girls probably two or three years later. I was kind of late to the game, but
did you get a Samantha?
I got Samantha, but Because she was my first doll in 2006, but then her collection was like retired.
Yeah. So if you owned a Samantha and you wanted, because you know this stuff is expensive, so most kids would like build up their collection. So maybe for Christmas one year you get Samantha, maybe the next Christmas you get an outfit. Like it's usually kids would build it up over a long period of time, and so to have it stop being available. And this was like before Facebook Marketplace and eBay and stuff. Yeah. Or like eBay probably existed, but it wasn't as common.
And I think they had a kind of like grace period where it was like announced that her stuff was going away so you could buy all the stock basically.
But then it would sell out.
So but like, then it was sell really
fast. Yeah, because this one did sell out before she was fully archived.
Your most popular doll and you're going to get rid of her?
Yeah.
Make sense.
I'm so curious what the decision making was and like what their numbers looked like to make that decision.
Yeah.
I would love to know all the ins and outs of that, but we will probably never know. And originally this outfit was $22, but I think like Katie said, I don't think it probably included the hat and muff for the $22. So they also had a dress like your doll version where you could, this is something that I could see getting for Vader or something. Like it's cute. And I could see like a child like 10 or younger or even maybe older than that, but I could see a kid rocking this and not really getting strange looks. Like some of her outfits, like her meat outfit, if you wore that out in public, people might look at you funny even as a child.
Yeah.
But this outfit, I think a kid could wear that.
Oh, absolutely. Victor's dying over here at the thought of Veda in this outfit.
I am.
And I can attest she would look very cute in that.
I would have to, if I got this for Veda, that would really put a lot of pressure on what I wore. I don't know if I could handle that.
You gotta start dressing like Uncle Guard.
Well, I don't know because what did Uncle? I never really paid attention to what Uncle Guard could be wearing. However, I knew he was stylish.
Oh yeah, yes. You can just tell by his vibes.
Like, long suit coat.
Yes.
Yes, which I have a long pea coat, and that's what I was thinking of. Like if I were gonna pair this look of Samantha if put on Veda, and I was walking next to her, I'd be like, well, I got to get the good pea coat out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to the accessories she came with, which is Samantha's winter amusements. These were introduced in 1988, ? On the wiki, so maybe that's not confirmed, but retired in 2001. Their cost originally was $18, and they come with a pair of skates. They come with some paper dolls, and the paper dolls are mentioned in the book because Samantha lends them to the two little sisters to play with. And then a Valentine's Day set. And what do you guys think about this accessory set?
I love that her description in the book of her Valentine is going to be like two paper hearts together.
And for the Admiral.
Picture a 10-year-old making a Valentine, you really think like a basic construction paper heart. And then this Valentine is like the most intricate thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
It's got like a picture of Cupid with lace circles around it. And it's like hanging, and there's so much going on. And I'm just, it's very Victorian, but
what happened to just like gluing macaroni on a card?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's cute. I will say this is one of the accessory sets that I would be least inclined to buy because I just feel like it's a lot of paper stuff that I feel like would be hard to keep in good condition and it would get lost easily. Like,
yeah, there's not a lot of practical use for this if you were playing with it.
I
think you could just make your own.
Other than the skates, maybe.
Yeah.
I was going to say the skates, they go on her feet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Old school ice skates, strap around.
They were basically like a butcher knife with belt straps.
Pretty much. Super safe for a 10-year-old kid.
Right.
And then the last thing that is in this set is the Victorian valise. And this is like, it looks like a work bag, basically. It's like a leather, sort of like a briefcase almost.
It almost looks like
briefcase.
Looks like an old school doctor's bag.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was added to the collection in 1988 and retired in 2007 with an initial cost of $14. And I think this one's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it just looks slick, and I could see it being a fun, has a lot of play value because you could put their things in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is, I think, something as a kid that I would have probably wanted more than the other set.
I think we skipped her lacy whites.
Oh, okay. Tell me more about the lacy whites.
Scandalous, because it's basically her undergarments. And I think it's so funny that her winter collection comes with underwear and a cape. This yeah, is, like that's the outfit. But I mean, practically, you really can't fit a doll's entire dress under this cape. Like, I was thinking about that because what else would you sell it with? But like, was she going out in her underwear under this winter outfit? I don't think so.
So I do own this. Victor, we own this.
Outfit. The bag?
No, we don't own the bag.
The lacy white?
No, but we don't own the lacy white. We own the cape and the hat and the muff.
Yes, yes. Yep, and I do remember that.
I have noticed that it looks better over certain dresses than others. So
which
I think
totally
I,
makes sense.
Yeah. I think I tried a pair initially with her Christmas dress, which to me just makes sense because it's like winter or whatever. And I didn't really love that pairing. So I do.
On the doll, you definitely have to wear like just the cape
or something. Maybe I need her lacy whites and I can get
test
it
out.
To work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we dive into like the craft and recipe, let's talk about from Samantha's clothing and accessories, just thinking about the ones that are directly related to each book, because she has a lot of other stuff too, like Be Forever. We won't go into all that, but just thinking about her, you know, her Lessons for Samantha set, that's like her desk and her lunch and all that, this set, etc. Katie, which one would you least want and which one would you most want? And we're not going to include the meat stuff here because I feel like both of us would probably just automatically say that, because I feel like you have to start with that. Mm-hmm. It almost just feels like even if it's not your favorite, you need the meat set.
Yeah.
So Victor, we'll pull it up for you too and we'll have you say your favorite and least favorite. So let's start with you, Victor. What is the one you would least want?
The one I would least want, I think, would be the one where it had the skates.
Oh, the sixth book.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think accessory wise.
Well, it's accessory and outfit.
And outfit? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You got to think of it as a bundle.
Well, that's really tough. Okay. Yeah, if I had to choose one I would like least as a collection, both outfit and accessories, it would be the Learns a Lesson set.
Why?
Not a fan of the dress. And then I would say the accessories I probably appreciate more than the dress, but in comparison to the accessories of the other ones, they don't really hold up well.
They don't make it up enough for the dress.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about you, Katie? What's your least favorite? I know it's hard. They're all,
I know. I think the outfit on Changes for Samantha edges out the Samantha surprise set. I think the Christmas set is my least favorite.
The Christmas set is really his favorite because there's not a lot of accessories that really go with it.
No, and the outfit's super cute, but it doesn't, like, I feel like compared to the rest of them, I like combinations more.
I see. Yeah, I can understand what you're saying. We all have different answers because for me, it's her summer. Okay. It's the Changes for Samantha.
Yeah.
I think it's super, I do think the outfit is cute, but it's for whatever reason, not my favorite. And then when I take into account, it's basically like to me, the accessories and the outfit are both mid-tier. Like there's accessories I like less from other sets and there's outfits I like less from other sets, but they would have like a higher.
Yeah.
Like these are both like mid, if that makes sense. Uh-huh. And so it ends up being my least favorite.
Okay.
Yep. Because like I like this better than the school outfit, but I love her lunch set. So like I couldn't make that be my last choice. So yeah. So the Changes for Samantha is mine. How about favorite one, Victor? What would you choose?
Yeah, again, it's tough when I have to put it all together, but I think if I were to score and evaluate each one as far as my preference, I think I have to go with the surprise Samantha, the birthday one, birthday outfit, and then the
table,
tables, the chairs, they just looked very cozy.
Yeah.
Not crazy about, I think, the dress. I like the headpiece, but like for some reason, the dress makes me think of like someone working in the 80s ice cream store or Kilwins in the 80s. Like that's would be their uniform.
It's so funny.
I wasn't super crazy about it.
It's funny you say that because it's like these are Victorian / you know, early 1900s outfits, but with the 80s twist because they were created in the 80s. So like,
I see that.
I don't think they're necessarily meant to have an 80s twist, but they just naturally do because that's when they were created. So, okay. So that's one you would choose. Katie, what would you choose?
Same one. Happy birthday, Samantha. It's my favorite overall.
Yeah, me too. Because it's just like the table and
chair. I picked the right one, I think.
It's iconic. Yeah. We talked about this in our other recording the other day, but Samantha's like kind of color story is like this burgundy and like light pink. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where the light pink kind of ties in for me. But I'm also a spring baby, so I feel like I'm biased with this one too, because I love the flower crown and the pink.
Samantha shares a birthday month with Katie, but she shares her astrology with me. So we both are connected to her.
Wow.
What's your birthday?
May 26th. Okay. So she's a Gemini.
She's an April baby.
No. Hmm. Yep. And okay. Katie is May 5th.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we all have the same favorite, because yeah, that is definitely mine. Like I bought her two chairs for such a good deal on Facebook Marketplace, but I do not have the table. And so that is just on my bucket list to buy. So,
yeah.
And I mean, I would love also her like lemonade set would be the other thing I would most want to buy from this, but it's pretty expensive. I think it was expensive when it was first released, and then to get it secondhand, it's pretty expensive. So I'll probably wait and try to find a good deal someday, but who knows?
Samantha is such a Gemini though.
Yeah, that you think so?
I do think that checks out.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It is.
Okay.
It is a compliment.
And most people, when they talk about Geminis, they aren't sane. Compliments, but I will take it. Okay, so let's go on to the recipe review, because Katie, you made something, didn't you?
I did. So it is fall. It also kind of fit well with, I think, changes for Samantha, but I made the apple cider from her recipe. So
yum.
It's really just apple cider with a bunch of spices added, and I only added two of the three because I don't have cloves and I didn't feel like buying them. To never use them again. So yeah, I just made apple cider with allspice and cinnamon, heated it on the stove. Very easy recipe, but
did you notice?
Like, didn't add.
That's what I was gonna ask.
Whenever you add cinnamon to liquid, I feel like it just kind of coagulates at the top and it's really gross. So
yeah.
I feel like it didn't really add much.
Did it say anything about using cinnamon sticks?
It did. I did not. I was really lazy on this recipe, I'm not going to lie. And I also had the cinnamon already, so I'm not going to waste it.
I do think that probably would make a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
To have a cinnamon stick.
Huge difference, I'm not going to lie. I did not do it correctly, but would probably taste much better if I had actually done it correctly. And I'm also not a super huge hot cider fan. So, I mean, I was doing it for the episode,
yeah,
it was fine.
The allspice though, in the book, does it suggest powdered allspice, or
no,
is there
I think
a way
it's
to
also, well, I don't think there's,
because like
a
how
way,
would you do an allspice?
Yeah, I don't
that's,
know,
huh? Okay, I don't remember what it says in the book, but it reminds me of like making a simmer pot, which I've been meaning to try that. Do you know what a simmer pot is?
Amazing.
No, I don't, but I do remember we did have a cider bar at our wedding. It was hot cider.
Ooh.
I don't remember.
That's okay. Don't worry.
Did you have any?
I think I did. I don't think, because I don't remember. Like, I feel like it happened so fast. Everything,
yeah.
Like, you know, as the groom and the bride, I think it just that day goes by really fast.
Yeah.
But I do remember that there was, maybe it's just like the planning of it. But I think leading up to it, or maybe the day of where it was like available, I had some, but not during the actual like reception.
Okay. Yeah. And I
love hot cider.
We have to shout out my mom and dad, who basically did our whole wedding for us. My mom like was the planner.
Absolutely.
And my dad did like a lot of the work for it, as did my mom. And so the cider, like that we did, it had a s'mores section, and we had apparently cider, which like there was, my point in saying this is that there were so many beautiful details that I honestly don't even remember all of them, because there were so many great things about it. So
yes,
I'm glad you remembered it though. And yeah, I would try this, because I do think like it would, just the aroma in your house alone, even if you don't really want to drink the stuff, like just to have that aroma around fall, around Christmas time, or around the holidays, that would be a great idea. So, and a simmer pot, Victor, is when you put, do you know what a simmer pot is?
Yeah, I make them all the time.
You do?
Yep.
It's great for, you know, I grew up in a candle house and I love candles, but you hear all of this about how it's really actually terrible for your air quality to burn candles in your house. And so, especially with like a 2-year-old, I still burn them occasionally, but I'm trying to like get away from that. And so I'm like, this year I need to start doing simmer pots, because the idea behind it, Victor, is that you boil water. I don't know if you boil it, but
made one?
I haven't.
See, I always do, if I buy produce, like apples especially, I mean, you can't boil like a banana, but if you have like an apple that you haven't eaten, or if even if you just buy it for the purpose of doing this, you do like you cut up the apple, you put water in it, and then I usually do a splash of vinegar too, because that's supposed to like mitigate odors. Oh. But I only do a tiny little bit.
Okay. What kind of vinegar?
White?
Like white vinegar.
Okay.
And then cinnamon, nutmeg, and then you just boil it. Or simmer it on the simmer it because it's a simmer pot, but on the stove, and then it makes your house smell so good. And
you for can the do, aroma.
Yes.
Okay.
You can do like cranberries. You can put cinnamon sticks in there. You can do cloves, orange slices, and so I was thinking I would maybe put together like bundles for Christmas out for people for gifts. So you could do like a little, and people will sometimes also use essential oils in it too.
Yes.
But
I think one of my favorites is chamomile.
Oh yeah,
the smell? You could easily.
Yeah, chamomile. My parents did a lot of. And that smell and taste of like a chamomile tea.
So soothing.
So soothing.
Yeah.
You could do it a lot of different ways.
Nice.
So this is probably one I would potentially try this recipe, because I think it'd be fun to make for Veda too, because it's always just fun to drink. I like hot cider. I don't love it, but I think you just have to have it at least once every year. It's like just gives you, puts you in the mindset for like fall and the winter. So I did a craft. Mine also is kind of fall/winter because I made wrapping paper, which you could use for holidays. And basically in the book, it shows sort of like a brown wrapping paper that you then decorate by stamping leaves onto it. And it's like basically using nature and paint to add to wrapping paper. And instead of like buying brown wrapping paper, I don't know, I should have looked what they suggest in there, but I used a paper bag because in my mind, it's like if you're going to wrap your stuff in brown paper, the idea behind it probably is to be like eco-friendly.
Yes.
And so why not use paper bags that you already have? And so I grabbed, we had like a Trader Joe's bag or something, I don't know, in our house. And I grabbed one of those and I cut it up so it laid flat. And then I just went outside and took a couple of leaves that I found, and I tried to get ones that had different shapes. And then I painted them with a paintbrush on one on the side that had like the spine. And then I stamped them onto the paper bag to make, you know, it look prettier. And I used a burnt umber, so it was like a brown, and I used a yellow. So there are fall colors because we're using leaves. And I would say for the ease of this, I would give it a 5 out of 5. It was pretty easy and something a kid could easily do because you're just painting.
Especially if you had like a stamp.
Yes.
Stamp pad, ink pad.
Oh, yeah. You could use like
painting.
Yeah. You could make it pretty easy. I would give the cost also a 5 because I literally spent nothing. This is the first craft I spent nothing on. I had all of the things I needed. Now, not everyone's going to have paintbrushes or paint at their house, but you literally could buy the whatever paintbrush, sponge, you could, whatever you would need to use. You probably don't even need to have anything to put paint onto a leaf. And then paint, you could buy like one thing of it for $1.29 or something at the craft store. So super low cost. And then I would say the usability, it's also probably a 5 because it's like you can wrap stuff in it, right? Like you can use it as paper, wrapping paper. Overall, though, I'm going to give it a 3.5 because it didn't turn out super cute. So it's like, even though it has all these, I think it's a great one. I would definitely try it again with Veda. And I think it'd be fun to have her do it and then wrap people's gifts and stuff that she created, because then if it doesn't look cute, people are still going to think it's cute because she made it. Whereas I'm a grown woman, and if it doesn't look cute, people are going to be like, why did you wrap my gift in this?
I kind of want to try it, actually, because I remember seeing you do it.
he had some tips for me.
Said, you're doing it wrong? Oh, man.
Well, it was just a super adorable, because like I just saw the frustration in her look, but they were like, they don't look like leaves. They just look like big blotches.
Yeah.
But it was, yes.
What are the tips and tricks, Victor?
I would say just use a little bit less paint.
Yeah.
I think she like dipped the leaf in that thing. So I was like, and so she was pressing them, and I was like, yeah, it's gonna press over, I think, the lines. And yes. So like it bled in itself. So, but just like lightly, probably just lightly brush the stems first, and then a little bit on the in between, and then just test that, and then press lightly, and then harder, and then harder, or gradually, depending on how it shows.
If I did it again, I would definitely have like a tester that I would do it on, which like I don't feel, I didn't waste anything. I mean, I had, I wasted
cheap.
A paper bag, right? So I could totally just easily do it again tomorrow if I wanted.
100%.
And not spend any money. But I think just Yeah, seeing how much paint you need and the pressure to put, I think, is the biggest thing. I had a leaf that's sort of like a maple leaf, but it wasn't. And then I had another leaf that is sort of just like that thin, tall one that doesn't have a lot of little pointy stuff on it. And those ones actually turned out pretty well. The thin one pressed pretty well. And then it was the maple leaf looking one that just looked sort of like blotches. And I think I was putting too much paint on there. So anyway, but I honestly still probably will use it. And I do have a wax seal that has a mushroom on it.
Oh, cute.
So I thought it would be cute to wrap, you know, like a book or something small in it and then seal it with a wax seal. And so, yeah, whoever's birthday is coming up next, just so you know, you're going to get a real interesting gift or wrapping. Katie, I interrupted you before you could rate your recipe. What would you give it?
Well, I also just looked it up again and I realized I didn't add the brown sugar it said to add. So that also could make a difference in why I didn't love it as much. But I would say ease for this recipe is a 5. It's super. I mean, the apple cider itself probably already has some of these elements in it, even if you're not.
Yeah.
Like adding the spices. Cost, I would say 4 or 5, just depending on what you have. You're probably only purchasing the cider, but we also live in a state where like that's pretty accessible in the fall. So yeah.
I think a lot of people don't though have like whole cloves or whole, like, I don't know. I feel like probably right. Some people do and some people don't.
And I doctored it. So for me, it was like spices I already had in my spice cabinet. So if you were buying all the spices, I would rate it probably a 2 because spices are expensive.
Yeah. Especially those kind.
And for the what you're making. Like, it's not like you're really making a ton of output here. Taste, I'm giving it a 2 because I just really don't like hot apple cider. I like have to have it cold. And then overall, I would say probably a 3.
Okay.
I'm very critical of this one, but it's also, I made something I didn't like off the bat. So I think that is a me problem, not a recipe problem.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to try it and we can give our 2 cents later on. Yeah. Because that does sound like it'd be a fun one to make this season. So,
you know, I love a good fall season and all that it comes with.
Yeah, me too. All right. So with that, I think that wraps up our Samantha series. Stay tuned because we might not be done with Samantha.
Dun, 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 dun.
But for now, we will close this chapter. So thank you for listeners for joining us on this journey, and Katie and Victor for reading through these with me.
Thank you for bringing me along, this newbie. I've learned so much and it has been an incredibly insightful and fun journey. So thank you.
I'm glad. And even though Samantha's my favorite, I think it's uphill from here. Just learning.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into the other girls that I might know less and other time periods too. Yes. That will be fun to dig into. So, well, we thank you for listening and we hope you tune into a future episode soon.